Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. What's that smell?
It's bacon.
Bacon.
We have coming on the show later on Bob Laip and Joanna Preuss to talk about their book, Seduced by Bacon, Recipes and Lore about America's Favorite Indulgence. It is a cool 174 pages of everything you want to know about bacon, how to make it, how to prepare it, where it comes from. It's delicious. I'm hungry already.
And how to find some of the best bacon in the world, which we'll talk about later in the book as well.
But we're gonna
later in the book? No, we'll talk about it later in the story.
We're going to start a little problem with the words today.
Yeah, you know.
The order matters. They come out. Okay, we're gonna start talking about fast food, shall we?
Excellent.
Fast food, not something we do
fast
a lot
food,
of.
Are we going to talk about bacon and fast food?
New Brunswick. Education Department, that's New Brunswick, Canada, not New Brunswick, New Jersey, has given the boot to the corporate clown in the big red shoes. Bye-bye, Ronnie. Kicked out of the school. Education officials say Ronald McDonald, the clown mascot for fast food giant McDonald's, sends a contradictory and confusing message during his appearance in elementary schools to promote fitness and healthy eating. Hold on a second. So Ronald McDonald was going to the elementary schools as the clown to talk to young children, to talk to them about fitness.
He comes in with a Hamburglar and tells them not to steal things, too.
That's funny. That's really funny. So these education officials figured that was sending a contradictory message. So run to McDonald's and have a burger? What?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, that's a horse we've a bandwagon we've gotten off of a little bit. But, you know, McDonald's doesn't belong in your elementary school.
We don't belong marketing to children. Okay, that's what we don't belong, marketing to children. It doesn't belong in the elementary school. Okay, see John, you know, see spot run is better than see spot eat a big fat hamburger, even
frankly,
if McDonald's pays for the books.
Frankly, it doesn't belong in our schools, period.
I agree. I totally agree. All right, but on to a more controversial topic. New York City has begun to require their restaurants, they've banned trans fats, but they've also required for some restaurants, about 10% of the restaurants in New York, have to offer calorie labeling on the menus, either on the menus if they have a menu or if they have a board where they have the prices up on the board where the burgers are listed. This applies to restaurants that have more than a certain number of units, who have standardized menus, who post their nutritional information on the net. They now have to post it for you to be able to see it when you order. So the triple Whopper with cheese will say 1,230 calories next to it, and the cheeseburger will say 330 calories.
So you think the triple Whopper with cheese will become less popular now or more popular?
I don't know.
Because I think there's a faction of people who are going to be like, 1,300 calories, give me two. Come on, bring it on.
You know, there are a lot of people who think it's not going to make a difference. I think it's going to make some difference. Health officials hope that once someone sees that a Starbucks mocha made with whole milk and whipped cream has 420 calories, the 160 calorie latte with skim milk will seem the wiser choice.
You know, I think actually where you're going to see the change is not in the burgers, it's not in the French fries, because I think that people expect them to have a fair amount of calories, and we count on that as being our indulgence food.
When
a
you're
lot
going
of
to McDonald's,
us.
You're not counting on calories. You're thinking,
right?
Sure,
I mean, but even so, you count on those calories. But when somebody starts showing you that your super milky milkshake has 900 calories,
your super milky coffee,
or your super milky coffee, you're thinking that I'm having a coffee drink when really what you're having is a milkshake.
Right.
And now all of a sudden somebody tells you it's 600 or 900 or 1100 calories for this beverage that you're having, I think maybe people are going to think twice about that. Because honestly, if I'm going to have all the calories of a milkshake,
right,
you know what I want to have?
A milkshake.
Always.
Yeah.
Always want to have a milkshake if I have to have a...
2,000 calories a day for a lot of people is what they're
suggesting? 2,000 for most women, up to 3,000 for
okay,
men.
Okay, so your coffee is 420 of those. Four of those coffees, that's all you get. That's
right.
Four of those coffees and an apple.
Four coffees and some celery, and it's grapefruit all day long.
And in a way, I think it will be good because people will be less able to kid themselves and think, well, I just had a coffee. Mm. No, a coffee is black coffee in a cup, like I drink it. Okay, you know how many calories it's got? None.
That's not true. It's got a few, but very few.
And nothing to worry about.
Right, nothing to think about, exactly.
But, you know, if you have a milkshake with coffee in it, which is what, you know, it's funny, because I think a lot of these...
Or a coffee-flavored milkshake.
Or a 32-ounce, they are milkshakes. They're coffee for people who don't like coffee. Okay, I love coffee. I drink it black. Sometimes a little sugar, sometimes a little cream. But, you know, this is a way for there's a lot of sugar that sneaks in your diet. Now, hold on a second, though.
But even so, you talk about let's stick with beverages for just one second, because I think that many Americans, the place that we don't realize we take in all our calories is beverages. And I am a huge drinker of all different kinds of beverages, so I understand this very well. That sometimes, you know, you were going to have a 12-ounce soda and that's got 200 calories. Well, you just ordered a 48-ounce Big Gulp. Well, that's got 800 calories in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're treating that as a single-serving beverage.
But this does beg the question, should restaurants have to tell you? And obviously for individual service restaurants, it's very difficult. But and it's going to be wildly inaccurate, especially if it's not completely fast food. That's not everything comes frozen, standardized in a package to throw in the microwave or on the grill. You know, my sauce throws in a little more, chef throws in a little more, a little less salt, depending on how the meat is.
The fat content of the burger is, you know, people ask us all the time, well, what kind of fat content burger meat do you use? Well, it depends on the
flavor
of the meat.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Every burger has slightly different fat content.
It's very problematic to make restaurants the police. Now, what they've done is they've gone to the restaurants that have it easiest. You know, for us to do a caloric analysis of our menu and figure out how many calories and everything would be very expensive and very time-consuming because we're standalone restaurants and plus they change every day.
And that information is not at our fingertips.
But what the way they've worked this is they've said this is for restaurants that post it online anyway, post the nutritional information online anyway. If they have that, they have to put it at the point of sale. Well, what a lot of people have said is, number one, it discriminates. So the restaurants who are now posting it online are being penalized in a way because they have to do something that Outback doesn't post anything online. Mm-hmm. So Outback steakhouses don't have to put their caloric content. The Bloomin' Onion. Want to take a guess?
Want to take a guess at
how many calories in a Bloomin' Onion?
I'm frightened to think about it. 300.
If you figure that your average, that a lot of, you know, smaller, that women of an average size, they're looking at a 2,000-calorie-a-day diet. You want to know how many calories in a Bloomin' Onion?
They're very big.
How many calories in a Bloomin' Onion?
You can share.
How many calories in a Bloomin' Onion?
300, 400, 500.
1,800 calories. Basically, you get a Bloomin' Onion and an English muffin. And that's it for the day.
Yeah, but you could share one. So you have half a Bloomin' Onion, that's 900 calories. Holy cow, 1,800 calories.
But you know what? That's a good example of where, frankly, I'm pretty well informed. I would never have guessed in a million years. But this law doesn't address that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't make every restaurant put the caloric content on there unless you want to have some sort of standardized thing. The other thing is what restaurants are afraid of is getting sued.
Mm-hmm.
You make me put up the caloric content. My chef says, this needs a little more butter. He throws more butter on it. You take it and get it analyzed, and you're going to sue me. Tell me that's not unlikely in New Jersey.
No, it'll definitely happen.
So it's setting up unrealistic expectations. Very difficult issue. Very difficult issue to deal with. Anyway,
what if I want to put bacon on my burger?
Well, we're going to find out about that in just a moment. We're having Joanna Pruce and Bob Late coming on to talk about their great book, Seduced by Bacon, in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Cafe Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Joanna Pruce and Bob Lape have written a book. The book is called Seduced by Bacon. Mark and I were seduced by bacon many years ago. Joanna is the author of Soup for Everybody, Tea Cuisine and Supermarket Confidential. She's written for the food column of the New York Times, Sunday Magazine, Food and Wine, The Washington Post, and Food Arts. And Bob Lape is, of course, reviews restaurants for Crane's New York Business. Hey, guys. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, pleasure to be here.
A book about bacon. How is so long in coming? Is bacon the perfect food?
Bacon is the perfect food, and actually it is the perfect seduction. You know, you dream about it ahead of time. It you taste it, it elicits absolutely perfect combination of salt and bitter and sweet, and crunchy and chewy. And then when that's over, it just, the memories linger on and it evokes happiness and comfort and great things.
You know, I was... Go ahead, Bob.
Right. The book was a long time coming about a subject that is so close to universal as you'll ever find.
Well, one of the things you write about in the very beginning of the book is you guys discuss how when you talk to a vegetarian or when you talk to someone who's given up who doesn't eat pork or has given up pork, the thing that they miss most of all is the flavor of bacon, because it's just one of those things that lingers with you and you actually crave.
And the reality is, that's why we have all these alternative bacons out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
It's a truly, first of all, it's a truly an original, and in the way we eat it, it is an original American flavor, and it just is so satisfying.
But here's the question, do any of those alternatives, were they worth their, well, salt?
Good, very good question.
Thank you.
I think the reality is there is nothing really like bacon, but for my daughter who gave up eating meat, and I used to make spaghetti carbonara, I made a turkey bacon carbonara, which really is very satisfying because they have put the smoky flavor in it. Now, you have to add fat to the pan, and you have to cook it differently, but bacon is bacon, and then beyond that, everything else is
well. A substitute.
Yeah, but there's also a wonderful turkey bacon grilled cheese sandwich with onions that are sautéed and deglazed with beer.
Is it really wonderful? I mean, is it wonderful a little strong?
Oh, for that sandwich? Oh, no. I would covet that.
The turkey bacon. Well, I will tell you, I had a very, 21st century experience. I used to be on, I put myself out on Match.com. I'm not even ashamed to admit that, a while back, and I'm off Match now. But I was on Match.com, and I began corresponding with and then went out a couple of times with a woman in my neighborhood who described herself as a bako vegetarian. She had given up all meat but bacon, couldn't pull the trigger on the bacon.
Yeah.
Very funny.
And I said,
and you
this
know what?
What?
There are a lot of people who are Jewish in the South who are raised in a Jewish traditional home, but they eat bacon because they consider it part of their patrimony.
Oh, I think you know, it's the one thing you can't give up. Why is bacon so special? What makes it so unique?
I'm sure we both have different answers. I'll let Bob give his after mine, but mine is that bacon adds so much in terms of flavor, in terms of satisfaction to just about any kind of food you can imagine.
Joanna, do you know why you have a better relationship than I do? Because you let your husband give his answer at any time, even if it's after yours.
You want to bet?
So, Bob, you want to weigh in on that question?
She points. It's a very basic thing, and it goes so far back that it's quite amazing. You could go back, if you wanted to Plymouth Rock, and that is where the Pilgrims first discovered lobster. But they thought lobster were nothing but trash, and so they fed the pigs with it. If you can imagine what the bacon, those pigs tasted,
I bet those,
like.
I was going to say those pigs probably tasted good.
Yeah, up to this point, my favorite bacon has been pigs fed with acorns. I can't imagine the ones fed with lobster, how they were.
That's a good thing, too. But it's very basic, and it goes so far back in all of our cases. We all sort of grew up with this bouquet of bacon in the house, unless it was an unusually strictly religious house. And it was so much a part of our childhood, and it goes on and on and on. And nowadays you find bacon popping up in all manner of meal parts where it didn't used to, far beyond breakfast. Now you find it. I'd like to point out the fact that New York City today has something over 100 steakhouses. And in many of them, a lot of them ape the famous Peter Luger's in Brooklyn. And Peter Luger's and many of these new steakhouses have big, double-cut, double-smoked bacon as an appetizer for up to $3 a rasher. And that's pretty good going, but the fact of the matter is people are eating slices of double-crisp, double-smoked, double-delicious bacon as an appetizer before wading into a 2-pound steak.
That's
yes,
not the help.
We have pecan brown sugar and bacon ice cream in this book.
Well,
nice.
I want to touch on the fact that that's probably not the healthiest idea of the 2 pounds of bacon, the big rasher of bacon before you head on to.
When we come back, I think there's only one time I've ever heard of going over the top with bacon, and we'll talk about it right after the break.
All I have to say is you're going to be dead a long time. Have some bacon. we're talking with Bob Lape and Joanna Pruse about their book, Seduced by Bacon. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Let me talk to you about lighting, and specifically about how you can enhance the appeal of any space. Lighting is a powerful, emotional, and aesthetic force. It's one of the most important elements of design. More than anything else, it sets the mood and tone for an entire experience. A room pops or it doesn't based on lighting. Lights on Nine is a top-notch commercial and retail lighting supplier. Lights on Nine supplied all the lights for our award-winning Catherine Lombardi restaurant, inside and out, dining room and kitchen. Lights on Nine has everything from tasteful and stylish chandeliers to table and floor lamps to outdoor lighting for illuminating a building or walkway or a sign. At Lights on Nine, the service is exemplary, expert, and knowledgeable. They ship anywhere in the continental United States for free. Their retail store is in the Galleria Shopping Center on Route 9 in Manalapan. They're open 7 days a week. Call them at 732-308-9166. That's 732-308-9166. Or visit them at lightson9.com. That's lightson9.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left in Catherine Lombardi Restaurant, talking with Bob Lape and Joanna Pruse about their book, Seduced by Bacon.
So before the break, I alluded to something I had seen out on the web. I think it might have been on YouTube or something like that, and one of our readers sent to me. And it's a Texas restaurant in a place called Snook, Texas, and what they're making is chicken fried bacon.
Wow.
So they're batter dipping the bacon, putting it in the deep fryer, and serving you chicken fried bacon as a side dish to whatever else you're eating. And I just thought, wow, that's too decadent even for me.
But you guys have bacon.
You know what?
Is that a big seller, I wonder?
Yeah,
they say it is. It's funny.
You brought up two things before. First of all, about long-lived people. My mother made a pound and a half of bacon for us every day as we were growing up. My mother's about to be 91. And let me tell you, two slices of bacon are definitely not going to kill you. They're going to add a lot of flavor. But the other funny thing is, you know, what is over the top? One is this pecan brown sugar and bacon ice cream. I was lucky enough to do the CBS Chef on a Shoestring Saturday morning show. And they were looking, the anchors were looking kind of askance at it, and they were very eager to taste it. And they ended up kind of fighting over it. Because this is amazing.
Well, wicked and great stuff.
You just said something that I think people discount sometimes. First of all, and one of the great things about bacon is you don't need to use a ton of it to impart a huge amount of flavor. You know, you talk about, you know, two strips of bacon have 86 calories, but there's such a tremendous amount of flavor in that I think people sometimes take for granted how little you need to use to perhaps use a little bacon fat to season your potatoes or something like that.
Well, and then there's always the story of my husband who grew up in the Midwest, and they made popcorn in bacon fat.
Oh, delicious.
I saw that in a book, I got to tell you.
Yeah, my kids still do that.
Now, I think that one of the things that we're going to talk about, and this is a cookbook that you can pick up, and you can find out how to get the book at restaurantguysradio.com. Seduced by Bacon, Recipes and Lore about America's Favorite Indulgence, and it is America's Favorite Indulgence. But we're going to talk about how to make things that are centered on bacon and how bacon is often the secret ingredient in a lot of the stuff that I do at home. And we'll talk more with that about the authors of the book, Joanna Pruse and Bob Lape, right after the news. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal. I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Today we're joined by Joanna Pruce and Bob Lape. We're talking about their new book, the beautiful book called Seduced by Bacon, Recipes and Lore about America's Favorite Indulgence. We were talking before about using bacon as an ingredient and stuff. But now, bacon doesn't have to be a center of the plate idea, but you have some unusual ways that you've pointed to use bacon in this book, including bacon ice cream and bacon and peanut butter. How does that work?
I think that's Bob's favorite sandwich.
That's one of them, yep.
You are from the Midwest, Bob, aren't you?
You are exactly right.
I got to tell you something I've never tried, but I promise I will not go 48 hours without trying bacon and peanut butter.
I have to say,
I do think
that waking up to the smell of bacon in the morning is the second best way to wake up in the morning. That's absolutely like you said. It's very.
I think you're right.
It's very primal.
I can tell you that when my wife wants to motivate me, you know, that the leaves in the backyard need to be raked or the lawn work needs to be done. That early in the morning she'll begin sizzling bacon because she knows it will get me out of my slumber and get me moving towards my day.
I have a cast iron.
But isn't that wonderful?
It is. It's the best way to start.
I have a large cast iron pan that I keep on my stove that's very well seasoned, right? And for me, that's the best way to cook bacon. And actually, the bacon is the best way to keep the pan seasoned. What are the ways to cook bacon that you're going to find out in this book? What do you think are the best ways to cook bacon?
Well, since we typically cook so much bacon, my favorite way is to cook it in the oven. You take a half sheet pan, line it with some aluminum foil, crinkle it the foil just a little bit, and you put it in the oven and you bake it, and what happens is it bakes much more evenly. Your stove doesn't get dirty. You get this wonderful bacon fat to use for all the other recipes in this book, and you get a lot of bacon done at once. So that's my very most favorite way to do it. And the other thing you can do is you can cook it almost all the way through. If you're going to do it ahead of time, don't cook it all the way through because then you'll cook it too long. But then you can put it back in the oven.
Mm.
And that's my number one favorite way.
Yeah, I think bacon, one of the things that's underappreciated about bacon is how well it reheats if you haven't taken it too far. You really can take it 90% of the way and then just finish it off at the last moment.
You talked just now about collecting bacon fat and using it later. Talk to us about bacon fat and lard. People always used to collect lard, and then we switched over to Crisco, which we found out was worse for us, was our hydrogenated vegetable oil.
Yeah, you write a nice story about the war and you know, returning bacon fat.
I was a kid, a little kid growing up in the Midwest, and I remembered that my parents had this little ceramic crock on one end of the stove and that all of these drippings were being poured in there. When they had enough, they transferred it to a 2-pound coffee can and took it to the butcher shop. There being, in World War II days, 41, 45, there were no supermarkets. You find butcher shops and occasionally a butcher shop that sold some few groceries. But what the people were doing on the home front, you were told to collect three things, tinfoil, string, and bacon fat. Like someone explained that the tinfoil went somehow or other into bomb sites, though I don't know how. But I was always curious about the destination of the bacon fat. And so I called, as it happened, a market in Akron, Ohio, where one of the partners was still alive and around. And we said, Al, what's the story on the bacon fat? What became of it? And he said that was collected twice a week by a local rendering company with a big truck and converted into explosives, cordite, ballistite, other black powders, and TNT. Further research determined that there was a process called saponification, which did this, and I guess for several hundreds of years we've been making black powder out of it, but this continued until about 1948 when they found a better way to make things blow up other than using bacon fat.
So this story,
it
made me realize that we need a new campaign for bacon out there, and my tagline is now going to be, bacon, it doesn't just keep your synapses firing. So that's my new campaign for bacon.
You know, my dad fought in World War II, and my mom and dad, I finally got, it's funny because it all comes together now. They used to save, we didn't save bacon fat because we used Crisco, but they used to save string and aluminum foil, even after it was no longer tin foil. And aluminum foil is not really reusable for everything. So occasionally I go to my parents' house and just clean out these balls of string and shelves of tin foil. It all makes sense now. Well, talk to us about the use of bacon fat in pastry.
Well, a lot has been written about that, and the reality is when you use bacon fat, you get the effect, you get a flakier pastry. And in one of the tarts in that pan, in that book, I have bacon fat. I think I mixed bacon fat and butter. So for the flavor of butter and the crispiness, flakiness of the bacon fat. And it's a wonderful, wonderful addition. They say that you use everything of a pig except the oink.
Right.
And so it's a very, very versatile animal. And the bacon fat, it when you take it off the pan, what you should do is remember to strain it, because those little brown or black bits can cause other things to burn. But bacon fat is it's fabulous in pastry. It's also wonderful to fry potatoes in. It's wonderful to saute vegetables in. And if you've already made the bacon, it's very economical.
You know, it's funny. I do keep the bacon fat around, and it's fairly shelf stable for a while, especially,
yeah,
you know, because it is itself salted and the like. But I use it, and people, it's one of those secret ingredients where one of my favorite things to cook at home, oddly, is because I'm a dork, I guess. I'm a restaurant guy. I love to cook rabbit, especially in the wintertime. And I like
Me
to put
too.
It in.
Great
I love
company.
To put. Oh, it's great! You put it in a pot with a bottle of red wine and a bunch of vegetables, but definitely throw some bacon fat in there, and it just imparts a flavor. And it's not necessarily the flavor of bacon, but it's one of those magical ingredients that used like that enhances the other flavors. I mean, do you
if
find
you
that
like anymore? Rabbit? And I gather you do.
Yes.
There's a recipe in there for rabbit in cherry beer, Belgian cherry beer, with dried cherries and bacon. And you can imagine, because bacon has this wonderful transformative quality about it, it balances very sweet things. It just marries with other salted things. If you think about why we've been seeing a lot of bacon around, even in the idea of a sweet, we've been using salted caramel desserts, for example, and bacon will add that. It marries, it harmonizes with all other flavors. And you're right, it doesn't have to be the most assertive flavor. It has to be in a concert with these other flavors. And then what happens is people are tasting things. The example actually being this ice cream, or in the apple tart I started to tell you about, where there's also some, because Americans like cheddar cheese with their apple pie, I put a little cheddar cheese in the crust. And then what I did is I made a French apple tart, and it has crumbled bacon and almond brittle on top.
With your sweet brittle topping, yeah.
It was so much fun, because pushing the envelope, thinking, what can we do? I didn't do it for the sake of being weird. I did it because I'm very fortunate. I have clients who pay me to develop recipes, and that's what I love to do. And so when you have something that just enhances everything, you go, what can I add to it next?
If you want the recipe for French apple tart with cheddar cheese crust and sweet brittle topping, you can pick up the book. You can find it through our website, restaurantguysradio.com, Seduced by Bacon with Joanna Pruce and Bob Lape.
You know, one of the things that we talk about, and I think sometimes people are thinking bacon and something sweet, that really doesn't make sense. But, you know, we're talking about kind of a salty component going with a sweet component. And I think people don't realize that you have that every day. When you have those chocolate-covered pretzels, well, really, what are you mixing? You're mixing that salt component and that sweet component. And those things do marry very, very well.
Yeah, and you don't need to think just of waffles, French toast, or pancakes, where it's a natural accompaniment and it's almost always there.
Right.
And they get along just fine on the palate.
Any chance of chocolate-covered bacon strips out there for you guys?
Well, there's white chocolate bacon rind in the book, chicharrones, that are dipped. I was at a restaurant, and the little dessert plate came out, and there was these bacon rinds or pork rinds covered with white chocolate and salt and pepper, and I went berserk.
You know, I think you've influenced our choice for lunch, which is coming up in about a half an hour. And we'll be back in just a moment. We're talking more with Bob Lape and Joanna Pruce about their book, Seduced by Bacon. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Floors, walls, and lighting. The Restaurant Guys learned long ago that the key to making a space look great are floors, walls, and lighting. There's no tougher test to a carpet than a busy restaurant. From design to installation to cleaning, the Gillespie Group has handled the Restaurant Guys restaurant floors for more than 10 years. Designers know what looks great on the first day. Bob Gillespie knows what will continue to look great year after year. Gillespie doesn't just install carpets. Their quality clean division has experience and expertise to keep that carpet looking great. In our business, it's the details that matter. In your home or office, the details make a lasting impression. The Gillespie Group handles projects from large hotels to offices right down to your living room. Look down. Go on, look down. Right there by your feet. You see, you need the Gillespie Group. Call them at 732-254-5508 or visit them at thegillespiegroup.com. Tell them the Restaurant Guys sent you and get a free cleaning with any installation. Remember, it's Gillespie for carpet and flooring, 732-254-5508.
Hey everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guests are Joanna Proust and Bob Lape. We're talking about their book, Seduced by Bacon. We've all been seduced by bacon. How is this book being received? Are we in a renaissance of bacon?
If you can judge by the reaction to Seduced by Bacon, we most certainly are. I've reviewed cookbooks and food books and wine books myself for about 30 years, and this one, the reaction has been stunning. You just dropped the word, well, we did a cookbook on bacon, and people light up, you know, like Times Square, and say, well, how do I get it? A Christmas gift, whatever. But I've never seen a reaction quite like it. I suppose out of 500 people that we've talked to, maybe two said, well, I don't eat bacon. The rest of them just flip.
Right, and you said, well, Rabbi, I would assume that you don't have
precisely.
Bacon.
Well, I want you guys to know that I am a person who is not afraid to judge a book by its cover, and especially if there's a couple of slabs of bacon wrapped around a beautiful piece of salmon.
So, well, now, that's a very good example. You were talking earlier about you don't need a lot of bacon. That's a strip and a half of bacon, literally, over a salmon fillet.
Yeah, bacon works in various textures and in various amounts with a million and one different dishes, and there's about 85 of them in that cookbook. And we're just very pleased. I think one of the first tools of seduction that Joanna applied to me was a shrimp with fennel and bacon recipe that scallops, I'm sorry, and that's in the book, scallops with fennel and bacon.
Can I actually correct that,
with,
Robert?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, the very first recipe I did in the book was scallops that were with leeks that were
leeks.
Thinly.
I beg your pardon. Of course,
that's
they're leaking.
Okay.
I'm leaking. All right.
Well, no, really, what happened was that my editor said, "What do you think about bacon?" One day, and I said, "Oh my God, I just love it. I grew up on it." Blah blah blah. And I've been noticing a lot of bacon lately, and I've been cooking a lot with it. And so what I did was I had some leeks. I sautéed them in bacon fat after I'd cooked a couple strips of bacon. Then I seared the scallops. And I added reduced balsamic vinegar on top and a jaunty sprig of fresh thyme.
A jaunty sprig.
A jaunty sprig. And, but I have to tell you, the reason it's jaunty is that several chef friends have had this dish, and I think they've appropriated it.
Well, I have a question for you.
Well, actually, Bob, I just want to let you know that bacon was my wife's second tool of seduction, not her first. So. But still very effective.
What a wise woman she is.
Do we get to ask you what the first was, or do we have to assume?
You can ask. I shall not answer.
It was the bacon that was cooking in the morning, though. You can get that. Now, here's the question, though. You obviously there's a lot of interest, and frankly, this goes along with a lot of interest in heritage breeds of pig and flavorful,
yep.
You know, more flavorful recipes having to do with pork. Have you gotten any like hate mail from nutritionists, and is there any negative reaction to this book?
I haven't had any.
Haven't had a bit.
And I think it goes back to the fact that in this country we keep looking for a golden pill to swallow, to give up certain foods, absolutely. But the reality is I used to do the Fox Morning News about heart-healthy dining, and I believe, and I used to say this on air, that you can eat anything you want in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is if you eat something that has flavor and you feel satisfied after you've eaten it, you're so less apt to run out and go eat yourself, eat a lot of faux cakes that say that they have zero carbs or fat, where you just keep eating and eating, but in the end what happens is you're still hungry because there's really no satisfaction.
So, Joanna, speaking of satisfaction, I have to tell you, Francis and I are very satisfied that the two of you spent as much time as you did with us on the Restaurant Guys today. It's really been great. We need to leave it there for right now. But Bob Leap and Joanna Pruse, thank you so much for talking to you about your book, Seduced by Bacon.
And you can find out how to buy that book on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. It's really a great thing to keep around the house. You may think you know everything about bacon, but I don't know that you do. You know, one of the things that I do is I keep bacon fat around, to as we talked about on the show.
I keep it around, too.
In yourself?
Oh, you meant in your refrigerator. I thought you meant just kind of carry it with you everywhere you go, like I do.
No, it's actually just... That's funny. That's bacon fat and chocolate chip cookie fat and all that stuff that we eat all the time.
It's got a whole bunch of different kind things in there, lots of different ingredients that have been...
But we mentioned it with Bob. When I cook at home, especially when I'm cooking a lot, if I'm off for a week or whatever, I keep pork fat around. Yes, it's great in pastry, mm-hmm. and I found that the best portion when you use shortening in pastry is to make a substitution for 3/4 lard and 1/4 butter. And the lard that you get, if you use Heritage Pigs, if you go to Heritage Foods USA and you buy some of these great pigs that we're talking about, where bacon is great even if it's supermarket bacon. The Heritage
you'll even see a difference. I mean, we're using a Heritage pork belly right now, and the difference between that and the bacon you buy in the regular supermarket, your brand name bacon, absolutely tremendous.
And the difference in the commercial lard that you can buy, which is often partially hydrogenated, which sort of makes it a trans fat, which is like sometimes the lard that you buy in the market is not really very good. Mm-hmm. And so, but you can actually buy lard on heritagefoodsusa.com.
That's right.
And they're not even a sponsor. So we're not making anything from this. But you can buy a lard from them. That's one of the affordable things you can buy from them and use it in your cooking. It's absolutely magic. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick.
You know, at the back of their book, one of the things that I appreciate, first of all, in the front of their book, they do a thing called Baconology.
The book is called Seduced by Bacon.
And they give you a great list of definitions of all the different kinds of bacon and pork products out there, that bacon-like products and prosciutto and all the speck and all those cool bacon-like things that are out there. But in the back of the book, they give you a list with phone numbers and addresses of where to find some of the best bacon in the country. Because while frankly, bacon, even the generic agribusiness bacon tastes good,
mm-hmm.
when you get to some of these great heritage producers and small farm bacons, that's when you really see the great bacon of the world. Some of the places that they mention and places that I'll mention, Nyman Ranch makes some of the best bacon in the world. The bacon that we use at Stage Left is also in the back of their book. And that's an apple smoked bacon called Newski's bacon.
N-E-U-S-K-E, Newski bacon.
Really, really, so I think some of the best bacon in the world.
And as a home cook with these other small bacons, you don't need to have it cut into little strips like that. Mm-hmm. You can serve slabs or rashers of bacon.
Absolutely.
And have that be an excellent accompaniment to everything from other sorts of meat to birds to fish.
There's also a place in here called Nodine's Smokehouse. And now I have 4 kids, and one of the things that my wife has been advised by her obstetrician is to avoid nitrates during pregnancy. So one of the things that Nodine's has is a really delicious no-nitrate bacon, which, if you're pregnant or you're trying to avoid nitrates for whatever reason, Nodine's Smokehouse, again, I mentioned in the back of their book, is a great place. And for those of you in the local market, and now I'll talk mostly to our CTC listeners, down in Kingston is a little Amish market that I think may have the best bacon in all of New Jersey. I now live almost an hour away and travel down to the Amish market down in Kingston on Route 27.
The Amish do bacon very well.
Really terrific.
But there's one thing about the Amish that maybe makes their bacon different is the pigs. The Amish pigs don't drive. I hope you enjoyed the hour listening.
I wish you didn't.
You enjoyed the hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.